Hello and welcome to More or Less on the BBC World Service. We're your guide to all sorts of numbers, naughty and nice, and I'm Tim Harford. Among many other things, this year has shown us the importance of good, robust data. As COVID-19 spread around the world, it was vital to track where it was, how many people it was infecting, and where it might go next. On More or Less, we've spent months reporting on data inaccuracies and vacuums. But what makes for good or indeed bad data? A few weeks ago, I spoke to Amy Maxman, senior reporter at the scientific journal Nature, about which countries are getting data collection right and which aren't. We started at the top of the class with South Korea.
Every day they've got a report that goes up, and they kind of vary, but they've got a lot of measures. They also have detailed reports on clusters. So, for example, I just went to the one that was yesterday, and you can see that over the past 2 weeks, they say 30% of the new cases are contacts of cases that they had been following, 11% are travelers from out of the country, and 26% are in local clusters. So the household contacts are in their own category, and then there's clusters. So then they have a list of the clusters that are happening. You know, there's Asana that had 20 cases. And they even detail it out. 5 of those cases aren't people who went to the Asana, but they were associates of the people who were at the Asana. So they've got these really detailed reports.
Is what's good about that the fact that they have all this data? Or is it that everyone has that kind of data, but the South Koreans are making it publicly available and accessible?
It's both. So one is, you know, public health officials have the data. So they are kind of getting a sense of where do they have to drill down in their efforts. Instead of saying, everybody, we've got an outbreak in this province, let's everybody shut down all businesses, shut down the schools. Instead, they're able to really target their approach and say, okay, we've got an outbreak here, let's do these investigations. And then the other thing, like you said, is they're making it public, which means that people can go to the website, they can alter their behavior based on that. There had been a huge outbreak at a church, and I knew that from looking at this website. And I could say, well, you know, maybe churches aren't a great place for me to go right now. New Zealand does something kind of similar. So in addition to the large clusters, they also write locations of interest. They say, like from September 14th, they say, if you are at Kmart in St. Luke's from 6 to 8 p.m., monitor your health. So it also is helpful to the public.
This system is all very well and good, but both South Korea and New Zealand have had far fewer cases than countries such as the UK and the US, which raises the question, is it that you're able to focus on specific data if you have the virus under control, or is it that you control the virus by having all of the data?
When you're at a low number, you're better able to do this. The way they're getting this data is the same way that, you know, in the US or the UK could get the data. And maybe you couldn't list the, you know, that it's at a particular Kmart or something like that. But knowing basic exposures, like there is actually a form from the CDC and some health departments I found have a form, just a matter of whether or not people fill it out. People being the providers who are offering tests. But if there was some basic form that says, you know, do you know somebody with COVID? Is it a household contact, a workplace contact? What kind of workplace? And then if you don't know, check one of these boxes for potential exposures, as in you were in a gathering of more than 10 people, you were on public transportation or an airplane. So those are just like, there's something like 10 boxes to check, not super time consuming. If we had data that could tell us kind of in this particular location, we're seeing a lot of people test positive now who are in gatherings of more than 5 people, or a lot of people test positive who are cashiers at a grocery store, then, you know, the health response could adjust to those factors. When I was working on Ebola in Sierra Leone, this is what they did, and this is how they started getting a sense that a lot of people had been around funerals.
So not just a case of contact tracing, although clearly that's a very useful and important use of data, but also a more general, it looks like it's pubs in Manchester, but it's schools in London. This sort of differential information, you start figuring out where changes need to be made.
Yeah, exactly that.
Amy Maxman hails from the United States, home of Silicon Valley, a global center and pioneer of technology and data. The US Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, has long been at the forefront of pandemic studies, helping to advise countries stricken by epidemics and pandemics such as Ebola, HIV, and more. You would think there was no place in the world better equipped to handle COVID-19 data and response. But that's not the case. In fact, Amy has written about how the US is currently facing a data crisis.
We really need to update our data systems. There's been this kind of revolution in data science, and yet something like I've heard half of all health departments are still communicating data by entering it into Excel files and either emailing it or sometimes faxing these reports that they have to other places. And there's been problems I've heard about where like a fax machine is broken, but there's a process for getting a new fax machine.
For our younger listeners, I should explain that fax machines are a bit like photocopiers that talk to each other slowly and messily over a phone line. They are really not the state of the art. Clunky systems make it hard to get real-time data quickly. Patterns are missed or spotted too late. There's also another problem with how united the United States actually are. So the United States, of course, is a federal system. You've got these different states. Is that feeding into the problem?
Yeah, it's definitely feeding into the problem because they're not collecting the same information. They're not collecting it in the same ways. Another issue I heard about is that because we don't have a national healthcare system, for example, where people might have like unique identification numbers, there's a lot of duplicated data. So maybe the provider says that Amy Maxman has coronavirus, and then the testing lab also says that Amy Maxman has coronavirus, and they both report separately to the health department.
And can this be fixed in time to actually deal with coronavirus itself? Or is this the kind of lesson for the next pandemic? We need to learn these tough lessons. Because, I mean, it seems as though these are such long-term problems that they just can't be solved overnight. But then I think about the situation in the UK where we had a lot of problems, but we've introduced a big population-wide survey conducted by the Office for National Statistics. We have dramatically ramped up testing. We were slow off the mark, but we have done a lot. So can it be fixed, or is this really for the next pandemic?
It could be fixed, but you need political will to fix it. That's really the lesson here, because there are hard things to overcome. And yeah, the fragmented US healthcare system, there's tons of problems. But if there was leadership, if not on a federal level, at a state level, that really decided to push on this, I think there are a lot of problems that could be fixed. And I should say it becomes more important, actually, when the outbreak gets better. You know, this is what we would want. So like South Korea or like New Zealand, when there is a new surge in cases, which there will be, we're able to contain it really quickly rather than let it go spreading below the radar.
As Amy says, good data lends itself to good policies. If we know how COVID-19 spreads within communities, we know who to protect. We also know which industries or activities might need to be shut down and which don't. You can't make informed decisions if the information isn't there. Thanks to Amy Maxman of Nature. And that is all we have time for this week. If you have any questions or comments, email us at moreorless@bbc.co.uk. We'll be back at the same time next week. And until then, goodbye.